Welcome to New Generation Church with our Pastor Eddie Garcia.
Praise the Lord. Let's get into the Word. God's favor, God's guidance. Chapter 3. But before we read chapter 3, let me read a verse for you real quick. I'm going to back up to chapter 2, verse 10 says, "So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, 'Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?'" Now let's go to chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, where you're at already. It says, "Then Noemi, her mother-in-law, said to her, 'My daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you?'" Verse 2, "Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not your relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor." Verse 3, "Therefore wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on your best garments, and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking." Boys like to break bread, amen, and drink. "Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do." Verse 5, this is very important. "And she said to her, 'All that you say to me, I will do.'" Let me read it again. "And she said to her, 'All that you say to me, I will do.'" Amen. It's going to get good in his house. Amen. Nobody get mad. Amen. Nobody get upset. Let the Lord minister to you. Don't close your heart. God is in the house and you've come. That's why you've come to the house of God, because you said, "You know what? I'm going to go to God's house because I want a word. I want God to speak to me. Lord, if you're really alive and if you're for reals, I want to go to your house and I want you to speak to me." I don't know about you, but that's me every time that I come to his house. I don't want to come to see how you came dressed. I don't want to come see you how your new nails, your hairdo, whether you're wearing cheap shoes or expensive shoes, white bottoms or red bottoms. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many know what I'm talking about? I've come because I want to hear from God. I want God to speak to me. So all I ask is, maintain an open heart, an open mind, and allow God to minister to your heart this morning. God's favor and God's guidance is in his house this morning. You know, before I get into the preaching, Ruth stood out. She didn't want to, but she stood out. You know, how do you move from being a beggar status to a married status? You know, something happened, and we're going to look into it right now. I'm going to show you how God gives you favor to go from a beggar to a married woman. Ruth didn't even know that the field that she was begging in was going to become her field. Hallelujah. Ruth didn't know she was begging in a field that she owned. How many can praise God? You know, but in order for things to happen, there has to be a voice of a mentor. There has to be a voice of a man or a woman of God to show you, to help you, to get closer, to close the gap between being a beggar to becoming a married woman. Or a married man. Ruth learned And this is a big word. This is a big, so for some it's a bad word. It's the S word. No, and it's not the one you're thinking about either. The word is submit. Ruth learned early in her life how to be submissive. She learned how to submit unto authority. And how many know in God's house that when you learn how to submit, submission and obedience opens up great doors? Submission and obedience are known to be the hinges in which big doors open and close. So if you have a hinge that's called submission and you have a hinge that's called obedience, you're able to open and close doors wherever you go because you've learned how to be a submissive person. So Ruth submits to a mentor. The mentor is her mother-in-law, Noemi, by saying, all that you say to me, I will do. All that you say to me, I will do. And that is something hard to do in 2025 when everybody has an attitude that I know best. That I have a PhD, that I have a master's, that I have an associate's, that I went to this trade school, that I went to that trade school, that I went to this seminary, to that seminary, to this Bible Institute, to that Bible Institute. How are you going to tell me? Hello, somebody. I told you it was going to get good. I can hear a pin drop in God's house this morning. Ruth learned to submit. Ruth learned to obey her mother-in-law. Gloria a Dios por las suegras. Praise the Lord for the mother-in-laws. How many women say amen? Okay, then how many men say amen? Praise the Lord for mother-in-laws. Amen. Hallelujah. All the suegras in the house should be clapping. Amen. So she learned to be submissive. She learned to obey Noemi. So she got her blessing because she obeyed her mother-in-law. So remember that your destiny is in your submission. If you're submissive and you're obedient, things will begin to happen to you. But until you recognize that you can't do it all by yourself, that you need God, that you need a pastor, that you need somebody, a mentor, to speak into your life, then things will not change until there's recognition, until they're submissive in the house of God. Check it out. Backstory, backdrop on Ruth. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. It says, now it came to pass in the days when judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Noemi. And the names of the two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrates of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Noemi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons, just her and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husbands. So in other words, there was a famine on the land. They go to where they hear that there's blessings, there's food. They leave. And while they're foreigners in another land, the husband dies. And not just the husband dies, but 10 years later, the sons die. So now Noemi, she becomes a widow. And she inherits two daughter-in-laws. And Noemi talks to her daughter-in-laws and says, hey, look, I'm already old. You guys are still young. And she sets all the cards on the table and she says, look, you guys can still remarry and have a family. And Orpha takes the opportunity and says, all right, I'll see you later. But Ruth, you see, this is where you see the heart of a person. This is where you see the real character. Ruth said, no, wherever you go, I'll go. You know, there's people that God has placed in your life that are real ones. I'm going to say that again. There's people that God has placed in your life that are real ones. They're real people. They're loyal. They've been through thick and thin. They've been by your side. And they still continue to be by your side. And that's who Ruth was. She was a loyal person. She said, you know what, suegra, wherever you go, I'm going. Wherever you go, like the nail in the dirt, we're going to be together. I'm going to follow you. We're going to ride till the wheels fall off. We're in it together. You know, so Ruth was there when Noemi was grieving. You know, she lost her husband, and then she lost her two children. You imagine if Ruth would have abandoned her? She would have been all by herself, grieving the loss of her husband and the loss of her two children. So Ruth, she was a person that had a big heart. She thought of others, kind of like some of the people here at NGC. Amen. I know there's some Ruths here. And you know what? The men, don't check out yet, okay? Because don't start thinking, oh, this is a chick sermon. This message is for the women of the house. No, I'm a come full circle right now. So don't check out yet. So Ruth is a beggar and catches Boaz's eyes and finds favor in his eyes. Ruth finds respect. Ruth finds honor. You know why? Because Ruth had a good work ethic. Ruth was humble. She had humbleness and got noted by Boaz. They seen that she was a hard worker. It came to a point where Boaz came out and seen Ruth. He spotted her and he asked the maidservants. He said, you know what? Who is this chick? I'm making that. I don't say that, all right? But in my own words, they said she is Ruth from Moab. She's a foreigner. She ain't from the hood. She's from a different neighborhood. She said, he said, okay, what is she doing? She's gleaning. She's picking up leftovers. After the harvesters were passed by, they would allow in those times, they would allow the widowers, they would allow the beggars to go behind. After they picked the harvest of the season, they would allow them to come through and for them to be able to pick out some of the harvest, some of the leftovers. So that's what Ruth was doing. She was picking up some leftovers so that her mother-in-law, Noemi, and herself, they can eat. Because that's how low they were on the totem pole. How many can identify? You know, I don't know about you, but I grew up on welfare, where we used to go and buy, and I was going to say buy, pick up a big old block of cheese. And you know, that block of cheese, we would make some killer quesadillas, man. And I remember, you know, our mom telling us, because there was four boys in the house, saying, you know what, you guys better not eat all the cheese in 1 week, because then you guys ain't going to have nothing for the rest of the month, or to the next time we had to go pick up the cheese. And then we used to have these big old large cans of pineapple, and then you would mix it with water. Some of you guys are smiling because you know exactly what I'm talking about. Amen. So sometimes when you come from certain things and certain areas in your life that you can identify. You come from poverty. You know, when God begins to bless you, you begin to appreciate. Right? Because you weren't handed things down. Hello, somebody. And I'm not knocking anybody who has it good. I have it good now. I said that was then, okay? Now no more. We ain't on welfare no more. Praise the Lord. Now we're working. Now we're making money. The Lord is providing. The Lord has given us favor, and we're blessed in his house. How many can say amen? But you know what? I don't forget. No se me olvida. I don't forget those days. That's what keeps me going to work every day, even though I'm sick, even though I don't feel too good. That's what keeps me going. That's my motor, because you know what? I remember what it was like to be without, and now I'm experiencing the blessings of God. And I'm not going to ease up. I'm not going to let down. I'm not going to let go just because it's good now. Hello, somebody. So Ruth's work ethic and her humbleness, noted by Boaz, submission to a greater voice is becoming a lost thing. It's becoming a lost thing of the past. We need more mentors. We need older men. Hello, somebody. We need older men, older women with maturity and sensitivity to the voice of God. You know, we need you guys to rise up in the church. Varones, mujeres, hermanos, hermanas, men, women that have been through a few battles, who have dings on your armor, do not be ashamed. It's time for you to rise up. It's time for you to mentor the next generation in the things of God. But we need to learn how to submit, church. Hello, somebody. Galatians 4, 1 and 2 says, now I say to the heir, as long as he is a child, does he not differ at all from his slave? Though he is a master of it all, but is under guardians and stewards until the appointed time by the Father. In other words, there's blessings that you and I can unlock, but we have to learn how to submit to mentors, to guardians, to stewards that are going to help us on how to walk a better life in the things of God. We have to get rid of that I know it all mentality. We have to get rid of the attitude. How many can say amen? It's your inheritance. It's your inheritance that God has left for you. But you see, in the kingdom of heaven, maturity is not measured by a number. In other words, maturity is not determined by an age. Just because you get older and you get a few white gray hairs here and there, it doesn't mean that you're mature. Hello, somebody. Maturity is what we need in God's house. In order for the inheritance to be released upon his people. And that is something that we can learn from Ruth. She was a mature woman. She had maturity. You think that the other maidservants did not criticize her? You think that they didn't look at her wrong? They say, look, she ain't even from this hood, but look at her. She's getting to glean for free. As a matter of fact, Boaz told the maidservants, hey, you know what? Leave her a little extra so that she don't have to work that hard. Leave a little bit extra grain so that she can pick up the blessing. And God has blessed you. And there's haters that say, why is she blessed and I'm not? Why is he blessed and I'm not? Why does he get to do that? Or why does she get to do that and not me? Hello, somebody. Oh, I'm preaching. I'm preaching good. Are you receiving? Hello, somebody. You know, that's where maturity is measured. Can I celebrate you when you're getting blessed? Can I honor you when you're getting blessed? Can I cheer for you when you're winning and I'm not? That's when you see the maturity. That's when you see the real heart of people. There's an inheritance, church, that God wants to release on his church, but it's up to his people to mature in the things of God, to honor those who are due honor. An inheritance is a prearranged blessing to be released at a certain time of maturity. All of us, we are in Christ. We have an inheritance. Inheritance is different from harvest. A harvest is something that you sowed for. Remember, seed, time, and harvest. That means that if you sowed a seed, you're entitled to a harvest. You're entitled to reciprocity, that which a man soweth, that he will also reap. That is harvest. But I'm talking about an inheritance, something that was left for you by God, something that you did nothing to deserve, but it's yours. But God is waiting for his church to mature so that he can release, so that he can release, so that he can release the blessing, the inheritance on his church. Inheritance has to do with who's your daddy. Yes, I'm going to say that again. Inheritance has to do with who's your daddy. Inheritance is released when he says, or he has prearranged a release. When God says, ¿sabes qué? He's ready. I'm going to bless him. She's ready. I'm going to give it to him. I've seen the maturity. I've seen the struggle. I've seen the growth. I'm going to give him the inheritance. God does not determine maturity in calendar years. That's the human way to measure it. God uses a different way to measure maturity. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. That means there was growth. That means that I stopped doing childish things. I stopped talking childish. Hello, somebody. I stopped thinking that way. That stinking thinking. Hello. I was a child. It was fine then. Because I was a baby Christian. But now that I've grown in the Lord, now that I've been in the house of God for a year, 2 years, 3 years, there has to be a change in order for God's favor, God's guidance, and God's inheritance to be released upon his people. So there has to be three things. You have to learn to speak different. Signs of maturity. You speak different. You understand different. Your understanding changes. You're not thinking, in Spanish it's called doble sentido, two ways. You know, perverted thinking. There's a change. And we have to be careful, church, because that can infiltrate the church as well. Where men and women are thinking just like the world does because they see things on TikTok or they see things on Facebook or YouTube. And we want to have that train of thought. You know what? There's no room for it in the things of God. You're either in or you're out. And I don't know about you, but I'm all in. I'm going to change the way I speak. I'm going to change the way I understand. I'm going to change the way I think. Because it's going to show the sign of my maturity. It's going to show that I'm growing and that I'm ready for my inheritance. That I'm ready for my release. And nobody's going to stop what God has for me. God doesn't see maturity as an age, but rather a place. I'm going to say that again. God doesn't see maturity as an age, but rather a place. Oh, ya no estoy allá. I'm no longer over there. Now I'm over here. You know, I don't do that anymore, but now I do this. Now I'm in the house of God. Now I go to church before I go to the club, but now I go to the services on Sunday. Something changed. I used to cuss at the stop sign, but I don't cuss now. Now I sing praises to the Lord. There's been a change. There's been maturity. Something has taken place. Something has changed, and it's evident. Until there's signs of maturity, God has put our blessing, our inheritance. Galatians 4, 2. God has put it under guardians and stewards, pastors and teachers, until the time appointed by the Father. The blessing of God or your inheritance cannot be released. You guys missed it. Did you know that your blessing is tied up with your pastor? I knew I was going to get an amen. I'm going to say it again. Did you know that your blessing, I'm going to even be even more clear so there's no confusion, that your blessing is tied up with your submission to your pastor? Because the moment that you learn to submit, to surrender, and to obey your pastor, that's when God can say, ¿sabes qué? Look, you know what? He learned. She's learning. She's obeying. He's obeying the man of God that I've placed on earth. Now he can obey me that I'm in heaven and he don't see me. Or she sees me. So it all starts down here, church. It all starts down here. Are we able to obey those in authority? Are we all able to obey the police officer? Or are we speeding when we see no cop? Hello, somebody. Just so you understand, because I know that you didn't like the fact that I said the pastor, so I had to use a police officer. Yeah, because there's an attitude in this house, in this church, nowadays. Not here, the church. I'm talking about the church up the street. Where, man, the pastor, he's too hard. He's too strict. He doesn't understand. He should look at his kids. Why is he looking at me? He should look at his marriage. Why is he looking at my marriage? Why is he saying this? Why is he saying that? Hello? And these are things, church, that I've had to learn, that I've had to struggle with. And I can tell you, till this day, today, I can be transparent and say that the reason that I'm blessed is because that I've learned to obey. It hasn't been easy all the time. More than once, I've had to argue. I'm going to have a disagreement with my pastor. Hello? I know that's too much for you guys to handle. But I'm blessed because of it. Because at the end of the day, yes, Pastor. Amen. We're going to do it your way. Amen. We're going to do it your way. I'm going to be obedient. And just recently, a door opened. Remember I was talking, I'm going to share this with you guys as a testimony from last Sunday's message. A door opened up. A door opened up for me to go to Rosarito and to preach and to marry not just one couple but 10 couples at the beach. and that's good that you clap, because it's gonna. I'm glad you did, because right now it's gonna make sense. I had to say no. I had to say no. And most of you guys would be excited, like right now, you guys clap. Oh, yeah, praise the Lord. It's going to be by the beach, 10 couples. It's a good door. It's going to be a blessing. But after consulting with my pastor, the best decision, the best interest of the whole picture was for me to say no. Hallelujah. I'm giving you guys some free nuggets. How many of you guys would be able to say no? You know, how many of you guys would be able to submit and say, you know what? You know, what do you mean, no? They're going to give me an offering. They're going to give me a room. I'm going to be by the beach. God's going to use me. I'm going to be a blessing. And who knows, that might even open the opportunity to go preach at another church. Right? But to say no, I had to see the bigger picture and say no. And that's exactly what I'm trying to get at, church. That we have to learn to submit to the man of God, the authority that God has put in front of us, the God authority that God is using to steward our life. Because in order for my blessing to be released, God has tied up my blessing, my inheritance, under guardians and stewards. And one of those guardians and one of those stewards is my pastor, Pastor Eddie Merino, senior pastor of NGC, whether I like it or I don't like it. Amen. Now you can clap. Amen. So God locks your destiny inside other people. You know, your destiny, it's tied up. It's locked up in other people. If you don't honor the words they bring into your life, you can miss out your destiny. I'm going to say that again. If you don't honor the words they bring into your life, you can miss out on your destiny. This is a very, very dangerous for the generation that lives by the banner. No one tells me what to do. We're living in a generation where right now, where everybody says, no one tells me what to do. I am my own man. I am my own woman. Yo hago lo que quiero. I do whatever I want. Man, I got to land the plane, huh? It's getting good. There is destiny moments that mentors are placed in your life for. They're under guardians and stewards until they can bring you to the appointed place that God has predestined for you. You know, but there, you know what? There's maybe I didn't get to go to Rosarito, but you know what? I have a peace. Amen. You know, that surpasses all understanding. Hallelujah. I have, you know, no hard feelings. Amen. You know why? Because I've learned to obey the mentors, the pastors that God has placed in my life. And you know what? That's something that only God gives. You know, I wonder what blessings does God have for you? What blessings does God have for you? They're waiting to be released. It's all in your obedience. You know, like, after this opportunity to go to Rosarito, like a day and a half, 2 days later, I got a call from Yuma, Arizona. And they told me, Pastor Eddie, we want to invite you to preach to a gathering of men here of local churches. So one door closed, but God opened up another door. You know, that's the way God works. Sometimes we say, oh, well, man, that door closed. But sometimes it's important for God to close certain doors so that he can open different doors. How many say amen? Amen. But remember, it's under guardians and stewards for an appointed time. I'm going to land the plane now. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 15 and 16. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have forgotten you, though through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. Paul is not talking about your biological father. He's talking about your father in the faith. Your pastor, your mentor, your teacher, your father in the faith is what you need. Someone who is real, who is a real true father in the faith, is really not impressed with your gifts and your talents. Hello, somebody. How many of you know that we need people, we need pastors that are real, that are not impressed with how good I preach, that are not impressed with how good I pray, that are not impressed with how good I play an instrument, the guitar, the bass, the drums, that are not impressed with how good I can talk or persuade people? We need real men and women of God that are genuine, that are not afraid, and that are not impressed by us. They're not intimidated. We can't move them. They speak to you objectively because they are not your friend. They are your pastor. They are your mentor. You never outgrow a real father, a mother in the faith, because they are anchored to you, to your real character and your real purpose. Fathers and mothers in the faith ask hard questions. A mentor will teach you what? A mentor and a will teach you what? But a father, he will always ask you why. A father will always ask why. He won't be scared or intimidated. Why? Because he wants what's best for you. And that's why Ruth was blessed. She ended up marrying Boaz. She ended up marrying Boaz. She got her blessing. God prospered her. Why? Because she learned to obey the voice of Noemi. She said in verse 5, and she said to her, all that you say to me, I will do. All that you say to me, I will do. She submitted. She surrendered. And God's favor and God's guidance was evident in her life. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. Let's rise to our feet.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at etngchurch.com.